Welcome to Our PBC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPBCLife or through our website at pbclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
On this Good Friday, my message is this: missing in action. M-I-A. Missing in action. My question today is, are you helping others find their way, especially those who have stumbled? And are you doing it because of what Jesus has done for you? Because of what Christ has done for you, what are you doing to help others or to convince the world around you about the love and the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? So the big question is, are you a part of the solution? See, our world needs answers, but we all are a part of the solution, or we can be a part of the problem. So the question leads to this answer: don't be MIA, don't be missing in action. Now, MIA, missing in action, can either be used literally or figuratively. Literally, it would only be used in military service for those who have been in the midst of war or during a ceasefire and they go missing. They're considered MIA while, because the action is still in progress, or even if it ceased, they should still be on alert. And so they become a point of concern if they're not on duty. And figuratively, most of us know the term in a lighthearted context, where the term MIA actually refers to someone you're relying on to accomplish a task, and they either no-show or they disappear. Now, in our day, they would say no-show and disappear. Now, in this generation, it's called they ghosted you. For the older folks, back in the day, if we said they ghosted you, you'd be coming to the altar for prayer because... Or for those that are of some different cultures, they duppied you. Those who don't know that, it just means ghosted. So my pickup from the passages just read comes out of Mark chapter 15 and verse 16 to 31. Mark chapter 15, verse 16 to 31. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters, called the Praetorium, and called out the entire regiment. They dressed him in a purple robe, and they wove thorn branches into a crown and put it on his head. Then they saluted him and taunted him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they struck him on the head with a reed stick, spit on him, and dropped to their knees in mock worship. When they were finally tired of mocking him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him again. Then they led him away to be crucified. Verse 21 of Mark chapter 15. A passerby named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then, and the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. Simon was the father of Alexander and Rufus. And they brought Jesus to a place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. And they offered him wine drugged with myrrh, but he refused it. Then the soldiers nailed him to the cross. They divided his clothes and threw dice to decide who would get each piece. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. A sign announced the charge against him. It read, "The King of the Jews." 2 revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on the right, one on his left. The people passed by shouting abuse, shaking their heads in mockery. "Ha! Look at you now," they yelled at him. "You said you were going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Well then, save yourself and come down from the cross." The leading priests and teachers of religious law also mocked Jesus. He saved others, they scoffed, but he can't save himself. Weakness leads to alarming compromises. When Jesus went before Pilate to be judged, so many things occurred that could have been avoided if Pilate was a person of strength. Our strength comes from the Lord, and we must in these days be people of strength. If we don't, we will allow our weakness to cause us to make compromises, which in the end of time will cost us our own eternal life. Pilate was a morally weak judge, highlighting to us today that to be morally weak is to allow ourselves to be led into our own destruction. We must be morally strong. The world is compromising everything, destroying everything. And as children of God, worldwide, in our overflow, in-house, wherever you hear this message, we cannot continue to be morally weak. Our moral must be of the standard of the Holy Word of God. And that means that we are ready to defend the cross of Jesus Christ at all costs. This is not a time to be wishy-washy, willy-willy. This is a time to be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power, to know who we are in Christ and God, and to be firm about the message of the cross, which is the power of God unto salvation. I know there are many things now being mixed into Easter. Many things being mixed into Easter. In fact, for many now, it's the bunnies and the eggs and all the different paraphernalias. We did it with Christmas, where the Christmas tree and the Christmas wreath and everything else became the predominant symbol of Christmas. And now we're watching a whole world change the Easter story from the cross to many other things. May I remind us collectively and individually, there are martyrs who died for standing up for the cross. And if they died because of it, how much more we have a responsibility to maintain the integrity of what the cross of Jesus Christ means. But Pilate's job was to make decisions. And now he's being forced to make one about Jesus. And he did everything foolishly. Don't do things foolishly. Well, others may drive you into it, but don't do things foolishly. The religious people bound Jesus and took him to go before Pilate. And they had a personal agenda, which was not about God or godliness. Absolutely nothing to do with the Almighty. Their agenda was about them losing personal power and societal status. An interesting paradigm here is that someone like myself that will preach the integrity of the cross, they would say, oh, you're so religious. I bind that in Jesus' name. Religiosity is when you will not defend, as we are called to do, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of the cross, and His resurrection. That is religiosity. So when someone calls you religious because you believe in the cross, stand up and say, no, wrong word. I'm just a soldier of Jesus Christ. I'm not missing in action. They bound Jesus, not allowing him to walk as a free man. They had no criminal crime on him, but they took him to Pilate as if he was a vile criminal, rendering him a criminal for doing what? What was the charge? He did miracles. He did signs. He did wonders. Remember when I preached to the book of Matthew, I reminded you that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the really religious people, they were hiding in a cornfield counting how much corn Jesus picked. Now, can I tell you something? That's hysterical. That's what they would make memes about today. And sometimes people have no idea what they've done to keep other people bound up in their sins by hindering them to have the freedom to worship the Lord God Almighty in the purity of holiness. Sometimes innocent people are suppressed or hindered by religious ideology, just so those religious people can make their dogmatic point. But there is a difference between a dogmatic point and a defending of the cross of Jesus Christ. When you're a soldier of the cross, you defend the cross. If you're a soldier of the flag, you defend the flag. Isn't that what we do? We defend what is of great essentiality to us in our nation. I want to tell you, I am one worldwide and right in house. I'm a preacher, I'm a pastor, that I do not tolerate religiosity. And if you ever hear that we put someone out, it's because we will not allow a religion to mess up people coming to the Lord, because that's not what we're about. Because Christ was never about that. God desires that all humanity be saved. And that is why we're praying that multitudes of people all across the world will be saved on this weekend in every church that preaches the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh God, grant them salvation. Those who come in from every corner of the world to the churches around them, fill up those churches with the Holy Ghost and save souls in this time. So we must never submit to sin. But at times we must ignore the religious faction and stay focused on what the Lord wants us to accomplish. What has God called you to do for His glory? What has God called you to do for His glory? Do you know what I love? I love the fact that I love the Word of God. I love the fact that I believe in the power of the Word of God. I love the fact that I believe in miracles, signs, and wonders. Oh, I can never apologize for that. I'm too excited because I've seen Him do too much. He has been so good. Oh, come on, somebody. So here's the story. When Jesus arrived in front of Pilate, Pilate was impressed with Jesus. Yet he was extremely indecisive about the judgment that he needed to make. He rejected the strong evidence of Jesus' claims to be the heavenly Messiah, not an earthly king. See, they wanted him to say he was an earthly king, but he didn't come from earth. He came from heaven, and his power came from Almighty God. He superseded the earthly system. And Jesus' claims were based on the facts that what Jesus had done for the past 3.5 years as he walked among them, miracles, healing, deliverance, signs and wonders, and walking on water, casting the demonic into the pit. Jesus had done everything with divine heavenly power. No one can do that with earthly power. His source was from God. And oftentimes, when people do not want to acknowledge or accept the fact that is plain before them, they will suggest a compromise to see if the reality of the facts you're presenting, if it can be diminished. You'll say, and this is what the cross means. Well, what if? And they want to water it down so that they can, let's find a middle ground. There's middle ground for everything, but I'll tell you, there's no middle ground for the cross. It is the cross that has given us all the assurance of salvation and eternal life in heaven. It's not even the works that I do. Even for myself, I have to be careful in my Christian life that I'm living according to the Word of God, because there is no middle ground where the cross is concerned. So Pilate, he reverted to customs rather than conviction. And that's the problem today. We're acclimatizing to every type of custom. Now, this is the generational custom. This is rather than conviction. What is the conviction of the Spirit in your heart? What is the conviction of the Word of God in your heart? Because when we live by conviction, then we know how to walk in right standing. Mark chapter 15, verse 6 to 10, the Bible tells us the custom of Rome was to pacify the Jews so that no insurrection occurred. And so he went for pacify, not prove what is right or what is wrong. And pacifying is always a temporary measure. How many of you pacified your kids and it didn't last? The second custom was to release a prisoner But this type of action was geared towards those with light sentences, not hardcore criminals. It would be a light drug user, not an insurrectionist. And Pilate chose to release the insurrectionist and to put Jesus up among them. What did he do wrong? He did miracles, signs, and wonders, and he caused the people's hearts to be turned back to God the Father. So here, Pilate chose to attempt to pacify rather than make good decisions. Be careful that you're not pacifying people with the gospel that you need to preach to them in fullness. We love them. We adapt to different things and we do whatever. As I said, folks, last year when I made the crazy decision to rent the arena next to the casino, my board, they had to check if my mind was good. And once they realized I was in my right mind, they stepped in and said, yes, let's do it. We're with you, Pastor. And now we're seeing even the arena people excited for us to be among them when they tried last year not to have us come. Folks, God is good. So when Pilate's tactics fail, he proceeded with a question. And he asked Jesus a question that he thought could trap him, but you can never trap the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, here's the bottom line. Some troubles, if ignored, can cause you more trouble. Yes? Anybody ever been there? You had a little trouble and you kind of ignored it and prayed it would go away and trouble began to grow? Some troubles, not all, but some troubles. Pilate knew Jesus was innocent and he wanted to release him. But instead of doing so with confidence and conviction, those are the two words, confidence and conviction, he ended up with a frenzy mob. And the mob began to chant for him to release the vile criminal and to crucify Jesus. And he caved. Can I tell you, even when the world's telling you what's wrong, you still need to do what's right. Folks, the world's going to tell us everything that's wrong coming into the next decade. You still need to do what's right. So what are you caving to when you already know what to do? That's the question. What are you caving to that you already know what to do? What are you caving to? Because it will only cause you to cave further in the future. You've got to be able to say, God, at all costs, I will still believe in nothing but the blood of Jesus, for that's what the cross secured for me. So Pilate knew from his leadership of Rome and his dealings with the Jews that the Jewish religious people had issues with Jesus. Their issues were not based on facts. But yet, even though he knew, because it says it in the word that was read, he knew they were envious of Jesus. He knew that they had no basis for what they were doing. And yet he allowed their evil influence to curb his decision because he was too afraid of losing status. That is the problem with most Christians today. We lose our ground when we think we're going to lose status. I'm going to tell you, we're the most powerful people on the face of the earth when you're walking instead with God. Hey? Can I tell you? This is a word I used to get from Mother Merle. I'm heavenly armed and I'm extremely dangerous. We'd go into some places where we were preaching in the back villages of different countries, and sometimes you'd feel the oppression of the place, and she'd start praying, Devil, I'm heavenly armed and I'm extremely dangerous. I'm going to live with that one. Keep that one, okay? It's a give. It's a give. You can have it. Borrow that one, okay? What evil influences do you know you should avoid, but you're unwilling to do so because of your fear? And that's what crippled Pilate was, fear. See, folks, faith will always take us further than fear can. Fear cripples and confuses, while faith empowers and releases. Fear cripples and confuses, but faith empowers and releases. So when Pilate gave in to the worldly influence, he imprisoned Jesus, the miracle worker, and he released a murderer and an insurrectionist. These are failures, moral weaknesses that every person has to watch at the level and capacity that they operate, because we cannot become irresponsible. So here is where the MIA comes in. Sometimes it's hard to stop what you have ignored initially. Here's the story. The soldiers took Jesus into the courtyard of the governor's headquarters and called out the entire regiment. They had already called out the entire regiment, just for Jesus, the entire regiment. Okay, in the regiment, and they dressed him in a purple robe. They wove thorn branches and put it on him. They shouted, "Hail the King!" They hit him with a stick on his head. They spat on him. They mocked him in worship. And they got so tired, they took off the robe. That robe was not a royal robe. It would have been a robe. It was originally a royal robe, it says, and when you read the historical. But when the kings were finished with those royal robes, it was a prestige to have it. And so it would be sold multiple times that people wanted to say that they wore a royal robe. And so now they take one that's finished, probably ripped and torn, because they would not have beaten him if it wasn't already threaded. They would have considered it prestigious. But they did this in mockery, and then they put his clothes back on. And I wonder if Pilate had any idea how far the depravity of the soldiers would go once he released them in Jesus into their hands. I doubt he knew it, because you see, our actions have severe consequences, but many times we never think about the consequences while we're happy in the action. Or while we're caught up in the action, we forget to check our mind and say, what are the consequences for this? Young people, that's a word for you. Our actions have severe consequences. You may get away with it for a moment, but you won't get away with it for a lifetime. They will always come back to haunt you. One negative action can drive you into many other actions that can destroy you. So this is what was going on with the soldiers. They began to mock Jesus, then ridicule Jesus, then beat Jesus. You see how your actions can climb once you get into a frenzy? And they accentuated the crowd as they walked from Pilate towards Golgotha, from Pilate's palace towards Golgotha. They were building the crowd, and the more they mocked, the more people joined them. You know what, folks? People love crowds. You know, chant, chant, chant. That's why I'm surprised that the church folks around the world, church folks everywhere, that we're afraid of crowds. Everybody else loves crowds. Oh, I can't go into a crowd, Pastor. Really? What planet are you from? Because, you know, they are sending shuttles up to Mars, if you, or different places there, you know. But folks, the world loves crowds. Yes? And I'll tell you something, we need to get excited to see multitudes come into the kingdom. I loved what I saw today. I dashed out and ran to the different overflows. And overflow, I'm talking to you this morning, so give a cheer when you hear me. Actually, would you applaud the overflow right now? Woo. I love this, because it means more people are acknowledging what Good Friday is about. It's not about the fish and the shopping. It's not about anything else. It's about coming to worship the King who died for us. That's the type of crowd we love. So, much like today, they stripped Jesus because they wanted to see a vile nakedness and a depravity, but they could not bring Jesus to that. And the church needs to know, the world wants to see us naked of our strength, but they will not ever bring us to that, because our God is still God. So what do you value most today? Bible tells us they put a crown on him, a crown of thorn, and they wanted to suppress the Christ followers from speaking out, because the religious folks felt they were in control. I want to let you know, folks, when I value what the cross means to me, I don't care what anyone, religious or ungodly, secular or absolutely depraved, when I value the cross of Jesus Christ, that's what's going to stay rich in my heart. I'm going to glory in the cross. Jesus overlooked their insults and their assaults for the sake of completing his assignment. What was his assignment? His assignment was to suffer for all of us. Folks, sometimes we need to ignore insult and injury and suffer for the sake of the cross. That's not a word you hear anymore, you know. Suffer for the sake of the cross. Suffer insult for the sake of the cross. Suffer injury for the sake of the cross. But don't compromise and cave so you will feel like you're a part of that rather than standing up proudly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So my question again, are you proud to take up the cross of Jesus Christ in this day amidst the sacrilegious behavior of our society? Are you still proud to be called a child of God? Amen. And if you've not yet given your heart fully to the Lord Jesus Christ, today we will have people praying for healing. But you can come to any one of us after the service and we'll lead you in that prayer because it is most important. And on Easter Sunday, we're going to make that appeal. And I pray that you will be praying that those that are in the balance, that they would not stay wavering, but they will make the decision. This is what will take me into eternity. So the Bible tells us a passerby, Mark 15, verse 21, named Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming in from the countryside just then. And the soldiers forced him to carry Jesus' cross. He was coming in. Simon of Cyrene was not a Jew. He was not a Jerusalem resident. He was a passerby coming in from the countryside, which means he was outside of the happenings. And in those days, they walked for days wherever they were going. They would walk for days traveling from city to city for their business or their family or their necessities. This would be a very tiring journey coming into the city. And while the others were busy mocking Jesus or simply standing there staring or being totally nonchalant and accepting of the horrible behavior that was being inflicted on Jesus, I want us to ponder this question. Why did the soldiers choose Simon? As I read this passage, I went, where's all the other Christians? They're MIA. Because Jesus is being mocked and jeered as he goes down the street. He's beaten, thorn on his head. So that means that he's got a massive, in flesh, he has a massive headache. His divinity is the power of God in him, but he came in flesh so we would know we could endure all things. So he would have been like in trauma. He's being beaten. He's being mocked and jeered. And this cross was some heavy wooden cross, and he had to carry it, and he's probably stumbling and just dragging along and bleeding, as the Bible says. And all of the Christians were standing there going, I don't want anybody to think that I'm part of Pickering Pentecostal Church. So the Christians, the really religious people, first of all, it was the religiosity, those who were for religion, not for Christ. We're not about religion, we're about Christ followers. But the Christ followers who had been with him through all the miracles, signs, and wonders, in this moment in his life, they were MIA. Hello? None of them are around. So I have to ask the question, why did they choose Simon? He must have looked worn and tired. The Bible declares it. He just walked in from the countryside. You can't be coming from the country without a bag or something. So he's coming with his own burden and he's coming along and this is going on and he's the one that's outside of all of this and he's going, wow, what are they doing to this man? I have to superimpose because the Bible doesn't tell us clearly, but I have to superimpose and wonder, perhaps he was the only one that reached out to help Jesus. Perhaps he was the only one that looked absolutely in dismay that this is being done to a man. So he stepped in. Folks, we're coming in towards the end of time, and God's going to have some people step in that will shock you if you are MIA. God will always put someone in place to get his will accomplished. Simon of Cyrene, he stepped into action when it was necessary. Why was it necessary? Because the Christ followers who received all the miracles were MIA. Would you do the same? And the other question I have, which is a key question, is this. Would you know when it is necessary? See, Simon was coming in with his wares. Jesus is beaten, stripped, thorn on his head, struggling with a cross. Simon felt some necessity to either feel it, empathize with it, or reach out and help. The others, I don't want people to think that I'm like a Pentecostal. I'm proud to be a Pentecostal. For those of you that do not understand what it means, it just means that when Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, he left God the Holy Spirit and filled us with that Spirit of Christ in us so that we can have the freedom, not only the freedom of the cross, but now the freedom of Christ living in us. I'm so proud that I know I would want to reach out and help. But my question are you MIA? The stranger stepped forward with no resistance. A cultural man stepped up, no fear of people. A community man stepped in, no shame to help. And folks, here's the climax of my message. We are not being forced to carry the symbolic cross of Christ. We are invited to do so. This is where I say, take out that phone. And all of you that put up stories, put this one up. This is the one you put on your story. We're not being forced to carry the symbolic cross of Christ. We are invited to do so. Send that out there. Let everybody know. Let them know I'm excited to be a Christ follower. It's an invitation that I accept. Have you accepted that invitation? Because if you have, then you need to show it to the world. This week, this Good Friday, Easter Sunday, we're in a land of freedom. But bit by bit, we're watching freedom stripped. And I want you to know there'll be persecution against the church. But will you be the one that will still be ready to carry the cross of Jesus Christ? Are you a part of the problem or the solution? Because the Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? What do you benefit? What's the benefit? Because at the end of time, when we all go, and we'll all go at some time, I want Jesus to say, well done, good and faithful servant. You weren't MIA. You were not MIA. Are you MIA? Are you MIA? Would you still be in the crowd? And if Jesus was stumbling, you wouldn't even reach out to help him. Simon of Cyrene, a non-Jew, at that time a non-Christ follower because he wasn't a part of the happenings, he said, this doesn't make sense. Let me carry this cross. So for you who know that the cross makes sense, would you carry the cross? That's what matters. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, oh God, every person today would repent personally and step into action today. Repent personally and make a step into action today. Father, I pray, oh God, no one would sit here vacillating, being in the distant crowd, not having an assurance of their salvation. But God, over this weekend, burden the hearts of those who've been struggling to make the decision if they will step up to the cross or not. Burden them. My God, I pray in the name of Jesus that as we pray for family, friends, co-workers, that, Lord, we will cry out for that burden to come in their heart to make a decision. Pilate knew what was right but didn't do it. People today know what's right but refuse to do it. Oh, God, speak to their hearts. And, Father, cause them to know nothing else matters, not fame, not fortune. All that matters at the end of time is that they have a relationship with you, Lord Jesus Christ. Those that got stuck in religion, God, release them, because it was religion that put you on the cross. But Father, may they come into right relationship, which comes with joy and freedom and peace of mind and every wonder of God. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you accepted Christ for the first time today, we want to help you with next steps. Please email us at prayer@ppclife.ca, and a pastor or volunteer will be in touch with you. We pray that you have a wonderful and safe day or night, and we'll see you soon, church family.